There is one less Democrat in the Senate than there was yesterday. Well, sort of. USDA is getting ready to release the supply and demand report. Year-around availability of E15 is getting a close examination. And Mexico is delaying its ban on GMO corn. All that and a lot more on today's Free For All.
Live from the always anticipated Ag Roundtable via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning it's our Friday Free-for-All. Panelists Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, and yours truly chiming in from time to time. Right after the news, Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, thank you very much. Sounds like you may have had an adequate supply of coffee coming your way already this morning.
I am fired up, you know, and I backed that up with an adequate supply of sleep. I had a little nap yesterday afternoon, went to bed early last night, slept a little late this morning. I feel fantastic. I feel like I could fight a gorilla right now and probably do pretty well. I could hold my own for a little bit.
Hey, we're not wishing a gorilla any harm here.
Absolutely not. But he better watch himself. He better watch himself if he comes to my neighborhood. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, you know what? I kind of feel the same way about a bear. If a bear come strolling up to the backyard right now.
Attaboy. Yeah. Attaboy.
Yeah,
he. Oh, Lord, if you can't help me, at least don't help that bar, right?
Don't help that bar. Yep. All right, man. We've got a lot of ground to cover on today's show.
We do, yes.
Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio, also had some very interesting conversations this week, one with Shapiro, and I want to get into some of the thoughts that that Haney had in that conversation. It was really a fascinating conversation, so I'm looking forward to that as well. Okay, let's get started. What do you got in the news?
Well, these first two sort of go together. Let's begin here. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack travels to Alabama Monday to announce the second round of investments of the Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities funding. The investment in projects nationwide will expand markets for climate smart commodities, leverage the greenhouse gas benefits of climate smart commodity production, and provide direct meaningful benefits to production agriculture, that according to USDA. Meanwhile, debate over priorities in the upcoming farm bill heats up. The influence of climate legislation is already hotly contested. On Wednesday, the House Republican Steering Committee elected Glenn G.T. Thompson as chairman of the House Committee on Agriculture for the 118th Congress. Now, looking ahead to the farm bill, Thompson was critical of the scapegoating agriculture has endured. In the name of climate change, he had this to say.
We don't need a climate change title in the farm bill. And I'll be honest with you, what we need to do is give credit to the American ranchers, farmers, foresters for what they do. You know, for too long, there's been a bullseye right on the back of all these families that work so hard to provide us food and fiber that says climate criminal.
Chip, G.T. Thompson says there's been a target on the back of agriculture and we've been labeled climate criminals.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the deal with the climate smart farming programs, projects that are being promoted from USDA. I don't think anybody is all that against the development of the projects.
Agreed.
I don't think that anybody is really against in providing some financial incentive for the service being provided to cutting the GHG emissions. It's the source of the funding that's got people like Glenn Thompson more than concerned. And to hear him say that it does not belong in the farm bill, that is very interesting, because the idea was that maybe there would be a movement to bring that from USDA into the farm bill as some sort of a permanent program. We'll talk to Jim about that.
Well, Chip, the American Farm Bureau Federation and more than 350 other food and farm organizations sent a letter urging the Senate to pass legislation to address the nation's ag workforce challenges this year. AFBF says meaningful reforms to the federal government's guest worker program must be a priority for Congress by the end of the year. Tick tock, tick tock on that one.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll get an update from Jim on his thoughts there, too.
The prospect of permanent nationwide availability of E15 moves closer with new House legislation, according to the RFA. President and CEO Jeff Cooper says the legislation will, quote, finally remove a burdensome and nonsensical barrier to the broader deployment of cleaner, more affordable fuels. Specifically, the legislation would harmonize fuel volatility regs for ethanol-blended fuels across the country, allowing for year-round sale of E15. Chip, USDA numbers show fuel and fertilizer prices increased by roughly 50% this year, with that rate being much higher in early 2022. Brittany Hurst Marchant, executive director of the Idaho Wheat Commission, is not optimistic that input costs will come down in the new year.
Inflation is still high. Prices are still high. There's still a lot of volatility around the world, especially out of the Black Sea region. We are still struggling with supply chain issues from the pandemic. So I don't see those input costs going down in 2023.
And Chip, let me go lightning round here to get it all in. Saudi Arabia and China struck a strategic partnership. Inflation in China slowed sharply in November, and Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema is leaving the Democratic Party. Chip.
Yes. All right. Becoming an independent, a registered independent. Thank you so much, Davis. Let's bring in Jennifer Scheich, the editor of Farm Journal's Port. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
All right. So you were at the Midwest Pork Conference this week. What did you learn?
Well, I had a great time there this week. That was my first time to attend. And it kicked off with a really interesting presentation by Jason Lusk talking about food price inflation and how we're in uncharted territory, but it's certainly very unusual what we're experiencing in the economy now. So that was all good. And there's a great story on porkbusiness.com about that. But one of the things that caught my attention was his discussion on plant-based meat alternatives.
Okay.
And it's interesting. He brought up a good point. There's not a lot of chatter going on about him right now. And so he posed the question, is the hype over?
Yeah. Well, you know, and the chatter about plant-based was replaced for at least a moment by the talk of the lab or cultured meat, and so that took over for a while as well. I don't know. What are your thoughts? There are plenty of people that thought that the plant-based meats would be a fad rather than a trend, and it looks that way, doesn't it?
Well, it really does. I mean, there's just not a lot. They have this new meat sentiment dashboard that tracks like what people are talking about online. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to alt meat, they're not saying a lot. And when they do, it's generally a negative net sentiment. So, you know, I think it shows. And then meanwhile, we're seeing the demand for animal proteins shooting up, and especially, you know, we're having a good story in the pork industry. And so, you know, I really don't think it's going to be something we need to be too worried about. But he did caution livestock producers not to stop paying attention to competitive threats, because there's a lot of people out there pushing against and pushing for, I guess I should say, more plant-based diets. And so something new is probably going to show up, but just keep producing good pork.
Absolutely. Good stuff, Jennifer. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
All right. Jennifer Scheich, Farm Journal's Pork. We've got the free-for-all coming your way. Wiesmeyer, Haney, Michelson, and me next.
BASF is collaborating with farmers in the Midwest and South to eradicate pigweed on farm.
It was a unusually dry, hot summer that was following up a very unusually cool, wet spring. Most of our control comes from rotation. We have very few acres that are soybeans following soybeans. We actually had some pretty timely rains at the very start of the crop. It was nice to help activate some of the residuals we were putting down and that kind of thing.
Visit OperationWeedEradication.com to learn more. Always read and follow label directions.
There's nothing like seeing a big number on your combine's yield monitor. The seeds of your harvest started here in the Pioneer Research Lab, where we use advanced breeding technologies to bring seed innovations to your fields faster. So you can be confident that Pioneer will help you enjoy more harvest moments year after year. That's what it takes to earn the name Pioneer. What's next happens here. Learn more at pioneer.com/next.
Farmers know crop insurance is essential for managing risk. It's valuable for maximizing revenue, too. The crop insurance officers at Farm Credit Services of America have the decision-making tools and expertise to deliver the personalized crop and revenue protection you need for the peace of mind you want. Nobody delivers crop insurance like Farm Credit Services of America. Call 800-884-FARM. This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
There's no time to mess around when it comes to early season protection from yield-robbing pests and diseases. Ethos XB Insecticide Fungicide is the next generation of at-plant protection. Through your liquid fertilizer system, get broad-spectrum defense and create an environment where seedlings can vigorously emerge with more uniformity, helping to optimize your productivity and yield. Get serious seedling defense with Ethos XB Insecticide Fungicide. Ethos XB Insecticide Fungicide is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow all label directions.
The Milk Business Conference brings together the most progressive dairy operations. Make sure you're a part of this year's 20th anniversary event at the Paris Las Vegas Hotel and Casino, December 13th through the 15th. Be in the middle of the action with sessions on labor, the water crisis, renewable energy, and more. Together, we can go bold directions as we continue to navigate this ever-evolving industry. View the agenda and register now at milkbusinessconference.com.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Ethos XB Insecticide Fungicide from FMC. Get serious seedling defense to defend against the toughest early season pests and diseases. Choose Ethos XB Insecticide Fungicide for at-plant defense.
Well, that's a little low-key for us this morning, I think. Let's get this thing going. Huh?
Fired
all right,
up now,
welcome
Flory.
Back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. We've got the free-for-all first contestant on today's free-for-all, Davis Michelson. Davis.
Fire it up now, Flory. Fire it up.
All right. Let's go, man. Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning from Austin, Texas at the Rice Growers Annual Meeting.
All right. You know what? When I talked with ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee, John Bozeman, earlier this week, I asked him about the potential for some of the rice, some sort of a disaster payment coming their way. He said he's sure working on it. Didn't have anything concrete to report yet, but is working on it very hard.
Well, they need it because they've had lower acres for the last 2 years as a result of other competing crops, Chip, and they were really hurt with those fertilizer price rises. And also, they didn't have the price bump that corn and soybeans and other commodities had.
Yep. That's the exact point that Senator Bozeman made. He said, look at the price of a price chart for rice and a price chart for corn, and you can see a whole lot of difference in those two markets, which is absolutely true. Okay. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, morning, Chip. I like this game show theme. I want to say hi to my parents out there. Yeah, we're ready to play.
Excellent. Outstanding. All right. Let's dive in and let's go straight to one of the headlines from this morning. And Jim, that is Senator Sinema making a move away from the Democrat Party, registered as an independent. She's going to caucus with the Democrats. But is this a big deal or not for the Senate?
Well, it's a protective move, Chip, for her because she knows she's going to be challenged in 2024. She's up for re-election. I think it would have been more interesting had she said she was going to caucus with the Republicans, because that would have put it back to 50-50 ratio next year. So I think it was a smart move by her, because she could win as an independent.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah, she's worried about it's Gallego, right? Gallego is the her primary challenge that she's worried about. Like, one of the things that stuck out to me is that a lot of on the Democrat side, you know, they're making her sound like she's, you know, been the hold up on almost everything and is, you know, somewhat, you know, the enemy. And I read this morning that she voted with Biden 93% of the time. Now that 7% gap might be some key things that are create some recency bias, but it's not like she's been out on an island on everything.
Yeah, right. She is of the ilk that more senators should be. She's fair-minded and practical.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that. And the changing political environment in Arizona, I think her move probably reflects most of her constituents, doesn't it, Jim?
Well, enough to probably get victory. You know, there are still, you saw that Arizona is still a leaning, Democratic state right now. Although if she enters that ring, like if she entered it as a Republican, I think she would win it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the attitude that I'm picking up there as well. What does this mean for Manchin?
Oh, I think Manchin either won't run, or if he does, remember, Trump won that state by 39 points. So he's mad at the Republicans now, because they won't give him that permitting language that he wants, Chip. And he's going to be challenged by for a couple powerful Republicans in his state. So I think that you've seen the last of Manchin myself.
I liked his quote. I thought they would get over it by now.
Come on. His quote was, "It's become personal. The Republicans are so mad at me because we passed the Inflation Reduction Act." And then he told the National Press Club, "I thought they would get over it." Jim, you had to about fall off your chair when you read that.
Because that tells you he has no long-term vision depth. That's why I call him sometimes centrist Manchin. He's really in a chart term.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, but it does speak to, on one hand, though, too. Like, I saw in your update, Jim, all the hang-ups on some of the appointments and how people's names are being held, and some of those appointments aren't happening because of personal, I don't know if they're vendettas, but there's some pettiness involved. And so when pettiness works its way into politics, and politics can be petty, they're not going to be naive about it, but it's not exactly productive either.
But these holds are on two trade officials, one from USTR, one from USDA, that is needed. If they follow history, Congress, they at the 11th hour, before they go home for Christmas, they'll lift those holds and they will be approved. So now it's noise. Pretty soon you're going to get the signal.
Well, it does make me question, you know, is this the most productive, efficient way for these appointments to actually happen? Like, is there a better way? Is this the way we've done it, and that's the way it is? Going back in history from a time that, you know, it doesn't really exist today. I kind of scratch my head about the whole thing.
Yeah, they should have a vote. There should not be a holds on anyone. I don't care who the president is or who the leaders are. An administration should get the officials that they want, unless there's a major negative development, and then vote them down.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, everybody's got to be vetted. We get that. And the holds that are in place right now, just so that people are aware of it, Senator Dan Sullivan, a Republican from Alaska, basically has a disagreement with USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack over USDA's plans to end logging in the Tongass National Forest. So he's put a hold on the Undersecretary for Food Safety, the Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights and the Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Services. That's the one that I look at and say, how do we not have an Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Ag Services at USDA right now?
Well, we hadn't had one for a while, Chip. A
couple of years.
So, yeah, a couple of years. So, but it, now that we now trade policy is going to be emphasized next year as Brazil starts selling China more corn. We need to get a trade agreement with the United Kingdom. That would be good for U.S. feed grain producers. So you need trade officials focusing on that. That's why these nominees are very important.
Yeah, but there's a time period in any job, and especially that one, where there's like you just don't start day one and be like, here's what we're doing. Like there's some, like it takes time to get fully up to speed. And so you say you have the appointment in February because it's a big priority in 2023. When does that person actually become effective and get some of those things accomplished that you're talking about, Jim? Yeah. It's not immediate.
This is why Congress has a much lower approval rating than our president.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably accurate. No doubt. Okay. You talked about some of the trade issues going on out there around the world right now, Jim. What is this with the EU agreeing to a law that will prevent imports of goods linked to deforestation? I see that, and I'm thinking Brazil's corn export program that it is building up, the beef export program, all of those things could be threatened, at least on moving product into Europe by this law, couldn't it?
Yeah, this is Europe being Europe, Chip. Yeah, they're building protectionist walls. I don't think there's any other way to characterize it. It's another step.
Okay. Well, and it's just, you know, you look at what's going on in the Netherlands and getting rid of 3,000 farms is their answer to how to reduce nitrogen runoff. How are these people going to feed themselves?
Yeah,
but they don't ask that question enough. Like when you make policy based on an ideology or not, we've talked a lot about on this show about unintended consequences. If you ignore those sorts of things. And then they wonder when, you know, why are these Dutch farmers protesting? What, like, why are they so upset? This is going to become more prevalent in 2023 in Europe and beyond, where these policies are not congruent with reality.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Well, we're going to be dealing with one of those issues and are attempting to deal with an ideology. I am not even going to try to say it again.
Ideological, Chip.
Thank you. Issue with Mexico and GMO corn. We'll cover it next.
Building a legacy takes more than just hard work and determination. You need durable, American-made equipment engineered with agronomic expertise to get more out of every acre, harvest after harvest. At Great Plains, we're proud to help you build that legacy. Find the equipment you need for optimal seed placement and soil management at your local dealer, or see us online at greatplainsag.com. Great Plains. Harvest starts here.
When we told growers that New Bear Premium Trifold Herbicide for corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Trivolt, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Trivolt worked. See for yourself at trivoltinaction.com. Trivolt is a restricted use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from ProFarmer.
Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady joins us. Beej, we are a half an hour away from the release of the December supply and demand report from USDA. How are the markets getting ready for that?
Just some pre-report positioning, Chip. So corn's trading to the upside, you know, decent gains here to close out the week. Soybeans, they've been under a little bit of corrective selling pressure, but starting to tick up a little bit here again. The meal market, new contract highs, so it just continues to charge higher on support from Argentine crop concerns there. And then the wheat market can't find its footing, and we had some corrective gains yesterday, but the sellers are back out here in the wheat market to finish out.
It doesn't take much for the sellers to come back into this wheat market right now. Multi-month lows, and it seems to still be pointed down until we can find some demand, right?
Absolutely. And you know, we aren't going to find that demand in this morning's reports. In all likelihood, USDA is going to cut its export forecast. So that market, like you said, is still searching for a bottom.
Yep, no doubt. All right, take us over to the livestock trade. We've got some strength in live cattle.
Yeah, a little bit more activity there and moderate gains. So some of the price pressure earlier in the week, you know, tied to the disappointing cash trade this week, but probably a little bit on the surprising side, given that the cash should trend higher as we move through 2023. And so we're seeing some buyer interest there on the corrective side. Pretty quiet, to be honest with you, with everything to finish up the week in both the feeder cattle market and in lean hog futures. Both of those are mixed here at mid-morning.
All right. Well, stay tuned. We've got the report coming up in less than a half an hour now. Thanks, Brian. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady with Free For Alls. Back in a minute.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
The Milk Business Conference brings together the most progressive dairy operations. Make sure you're a part of this year's 20th anniversary event at the Paris Las Vegas Hotel and Casino, December 13th through the 15th. Be in the middle of the action with sessions on labor, the water crisis, renewable energy, and more. Together, we can go bold directions as we continue to navigate this ever-evolving industry. View the agenda and register now at milkbusinessconference.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us this morning. We've got the free-for-all going. Davis Michelson, Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney. Okay, so at the end of the last segment, we were talking about some of the aspirational issues that may be driving some policy decisions out there. Now it looks like Mexico is looking to rework its ban on GMO corn. Jim, what's the latest?
Well, AMLO, their president, Chip, has taken a rule from the Congress in Washington. Rather than solve problems, they want to study them. So he's going to take the next 2 years to study any negative impacts of using GMO corn. We already know the answer to that. It's no impact, okay? But so this is just a screwy issue to me. I just it's eventually going to go away, because if it doesn't, this is an easy win for the U.S. and other countries in the USMCA, because there's no scientific evidence.
Right.
Like, the silliness of just hearing, I'm laughing as you're saying that, Jim, in terms of like, I don't know, we need to reconsider. I think what we need to do is we need to study the issue, and then we'll have a better idea if GMO corn is actually safe. Like, what are we doing? Talk about just trying to position something to try to negotiate for something. I don't know what the long game is in terms of what actually is, if it's just domestic politics or he wants something else out of the U.S. Not really sure, but it just looks so foolish.
It really does. This is a growth issue for Mexico and agriculture in Mexico. You take out it, because it was some of the comments earlier in the week on the coverage of this, Jim, that I always thought, no, it can't include number two yellow corn out of the U.S. that's used for animal feed. But the coverage that I saw earlier this week certainly suggests that it does include number two yellow corn out of the U.S. that would be going to the feed mills. it would be devastating to animal agriculture in Mexico if this was put forward. It blows me away.
Yeah, you know, 18 we sell Mexico 18 million tons of corn. 18 to 20% is white or food corn. But
right.
Yeah, this is just it just doesn't make sense. So I want AM low to go AM high on this one.
There you go.
Well, and it's a dangerous game when you use something like this as a trade prop. And you build distrust amongst your own citizens when it comes to something like science. Then you wonder later on as he tries to, you know, tell the farmers, you know, hey, we could really, really find more productivity and things like that when it comes to growing some of these own crops domestically in Mexico. People are like, well, what do you mean? Like you were telling us it wasn't good. It wasn't safe. And, you know, China's played that game and it's backfired.
Yeah, that is absolutely right. China has played this game. Europe has played the game. The whole concept just blows my mind. Okay, let's go back to the comments from Jennifer Scheich and the little give and take that I had with Jennifer about plant-based meat products. Jim, what's your take on this?
I've talked to enough people now, Chip, that I think the key that why it's peaked out and it relative, as you said, it's a fad. People started reading all the chemicals that they've used in the products to make them maybe taste like the good old product that we know, beef, pork, et cetera. So I think that's the key reason why.
I think that's exactly it as well. You know, they keep looking for you know what? And I think there's another thing that's happening, guys. I think consumers who have been asking for quite some time to get a better understanding of where their food comes from. And I've talked to enough of those consumers to know that their desire to better understand it is real. The conversation with farmers and with those involved in animal agriculture, I think is working. I think that consumers are growing more confident that livestock producers really do care for the health and the well-being of those animals while they are his responsibility. His or her responsibility. So I think that message is coming through, isn't it, guys?
Well, but Chip, okay, I think that's true. But let's remember too, when we talk about where food comes from, much of the ingredients that's going into a plant-based burger is, you know, chickpeas, it's field peas. Those are also grown in countries like Canada, the US. It's just, you know, it's a different option. So I think the older play here is more. The plant-based meat companies have focused a lot on we're going to save the planet and climate change being a part of the marketing proposition in instead of maybe what some of the, you know, competing directly on some of the health benefits and some of like that compared to some of the red meat competitors. At the end of the day, it's about protein. And if there's nothing wrong, the industry needs to figure out, instead of being adversarial, needs to figure out, okay, you can have a steak that the, you know, the farmer's taking a lot of pride in producing that beef. And you can also have a side plate of maybe a lentil salad that also maybe was grown in a state like Montana or North Dakota. And you're getting a very, very good, the macros that you're searching for.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. That's interesting take. I like it.
The other thing is coming out of COVID, a lot of people, I think, are sort of refocused on their general health. I was researching what's the healthiest peanut butter, actually, yesterday. I love peanut butter, but I also want to be healthy. The word is, when you're looking at foods, number one, eat foods that are, you know, that look like what it is. Here's a chunk of broccoli. That's very healthy. If you're looking at peanut butter, look for the fewest amount of ingredients. If you can't pronounce it, maybe you shouldn't eat it. And I think some of that's getting into this as well.
Yeah.
Well, I saw Jack Bobo last week present at a conference I was at in Ottawa, Ontario, and he had some examples he put up on the screen in terms of, like, you know, people, like, if you can't pronounce the ingredients, don't eat it.
Yeah.
And he gave some examples of things like broccoli and some of the natural chemicals that are in a lot of the fruits and vegetables we eat. And so if you
well, there is
buy
that.
Based on the premise, it's like you're totally misleading yourself.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. If you're looking at the ingredients in broccoli, you probably just better look at broccoli. Mm-hmm. Don't look at the actual ingredients in broccoli.
Well, there's photosynthesis.
You can't pronounce any of it. Is the bottom line. So, wow.
Just put honey on anything. It'll make it healthier.
So, you know, I prefer agave to honey. It's delicious. It's a lovely alternative.
Wow.
Also delicious. Yeah.
Okay. Frank's hot sauce. That's where I'm at.
There you go.
That you can
there
pronounce.
You go.
I don't know who Frank is, but I trust him immensely.
He seems like a good guy.
That's right. That is exactly right. Okay. So, Jim, what did you make of Glenn Thompson's comments about climate change, climate change policies not making their way into the Farm Bill?
Several comments. One, I think he's right. Two, the climate proponents really, Chip, want to get a baseline established for the Farm Bill. That's their key reason why.
Okay.
They don't have a baseline right now. And Thompson is correct because they want to try new funding for other things, Title I, crop insurance, et cetera. So this may get in the way. And I think his other reason is because he doesn't like the way Vilsack tapped the CCC Charter Act, right. Commodity Credit Corporation Charter Act, for what, a little over $3 billion. So that's not, I think, he realizes within the confines of that Charter Act.
Well, and I liked what Thompson said when he referenced the gains that the things that farmers are already doing. We have talked about this a lot. I talked to Dwayne Faber and Ken McCauley on the Farmer Forum on Wednesday, and Faber brought up, you know, hey, look, you lean too hard into these regulations. Now what the farmer's best play is to dump out of a bunch of this stuff so that he can capitalize on the gains of reintroducing these long-held practices back into his farm.
Yeah.
Well, just to that's meet the why rig. You should have a legacy pay. You should have a legacy payment.
Agreed.
Yep. I've been trying to float the idea of some sort of a Pied Piper payment too, where if someone that is established in these climate smart farming practices, yeah, those were air quotes that you heard me putting up too. If they do have followers that are learning from them, maybe there should be some sort of compensation for that as well. And as far as the funding goes, Jim, I had a conversation with Greg Ibaugh earlier this week and saw him at the FBN Farmer to Farmer event over in Omaha. And he first acknowledged that, listen, the Trump administration, USDA, made use of the CCC funds and drew criticism from Democrats on using those funds. He said, I'm not just doing, you know, turnabout is fair play on this, but using the CCC funds for the climate smart farming efforts that are coming out of USDA probably isn't an appropriate use of those CCC funds. So,
you know, fair comment.
Yeah, fair comment. All right, very good. Okay, now, when we come back, I want to get, number one, we got to talk about the scrutiny that year-around availability of E15 is getting right now. And let's get a report on Haney's interview with Jacob Shapiro. That's coming up next.
The Milk Business Conference brings together the most progressive dairy operations. Make sure you're a part of this year's 20th anniversary event at the Paris Las Vegas Hotel and Casino, December 13th through the 15th. Be in the middle of the action with sessions on labor, the water crisis, renewable energy, and more. Together, we can go bold directions as we continue to navigate this ever-evolving industry. View the agenda and register now at milkbusinessconference.com.
Hello?
Man, where are you? I thought you were coming.
I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf. Man, I'll call you back.
Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Here's farmer and businessman James Wood.
We farm about 3,500 acres. There's pipelines everywhere. The contractor working on my property did not have the lines located before he began work, and it resulted on a strike on a natural gas pipeline. Fortunately, no one was hurt, but it could have been much worse.
Never assume the location or depth of underground lines. Always call 811 or visit clickbeforeyoudig.com before you start work. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
Sylvester Miller is the FMC Technology Manager. He joins us right now. Sylvester, what is Thrive 3D application system from FMC?
Yeah, when you look at the Thrive 3D application system from FMC, the main thing that this system is part of our app plant crop protection platform. What we do here is get a chance to combine not only our 3D formulations, but also our application technology. Being able to bring those two together, what we're able to do is help with defense of in the furrow of disease insects and also help drive yield there for the farmer.
How does the Thrive 3D application system help growers be more efficient agronomically and economically?
Yeah, this system gives the chance for that grower to really save water, fuel, labor, and time. With one tank field, they can plant up to about 480 acres, using about 90% less water than traditional liquid systems, and weighing about 50% less than granular systems. So with the Thrive 3D system, what you're able to do is help protect against many pests inside the field, such as corn rootworm, cutworm, wireworm, grub, also the seedling diseases, and also foliar diseases with the use of Xyway out there before they're able to actually damage the crop.
Okay, so a lot of different uses out there. What products can be used through the system and on what crops?
We have our original Capture Thrive 3D insecticide. With that product, we moved over to our Ethos 3D insecticide plus one of fungicide there. And then we have our Xyway 3D fungicide. With these products, what we're able to do is help with the use of corn, soybean, and sunflower operations. But we're also looking at doing testing currently right now on sugar beets, cotton, dry beans, and even more of those row crops that we need to help.
Excellent, Sylvester. Thank you so much. That is Sylvester Miller, FMC Technology Market Manager. To learn more about the Thrive 3D application system, talk to your FMC representative or visit ag.fmc.com.
As a farmer, no decision is more important than your choice of seed. That's why FBN offers FlexPick. With FlexPick, you can lock in savings today, then wait until you have all the data from this year's harvest to choose from our growing list of proven hybrids and varieties. With an online store, real-time product availability, and farmer-controlled delivery windows, with FBN, you're always in the driver's seat. Learn more at fbn.com/yourseed. Terms and conditions apply.
Farmers know crop insurance is essential for managing risk. It's valuable for maximizing revenue, too. The crop insurance officers at Frontier Farm Credit have the decision-making tools and expertise to deliver the personalized crop and revenue protection you need for the peace of mind you want. Nobody delivers crop insurance like Frontier Farm Credit. Visit FrontierFarmCredit.com. This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
AgriTalk is brought to you by the Conservation at Work video series. Farmer to Farmer, the Conservation at Work video series features real stories, real successes, real quick. See what's possible at farmers.gov/conservation.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk and the free for all. We've got Davis Michelson, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, Jim Wiesmeyer, and we've got Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. We're going to get right back to it as soon as we take this trip into yields from the field.
Yields in the Fields on AgriTalk is brought to you by Micro Essentials from Mosaic, the science of more. Discover our proven products. Text YIELDS to 31313.
Chip, we're going to head out to wheat country today. A grower showing just a little frustration. Quote, I'm one breakdown away from driving this tractor into a ditch and leaving it. End quote. Yields in the Fields is brought to you by Micro Essentials from Mosaic.
Yeah, some of the thoughts that go through your mind during harvest. Yep. All right, let's get back to the free-for-all. Jim, the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs is taking a look at year-round availability of E15. What's going on?
Well, that's at least eight governors have requested that, Chip, and I think that's another indication showing that this issue has momentum. You saw the legislation earlier that API, supported on year-round E15. So I think its time has come.
Okay. All right. Earlier this week, I said something about watch out. We're probably going to see 87 octane E15 available at the gas pumps because refiners will use year-round availability of E15 as a way to save money on their refining costs. Well, on Wednesday, driving home, I stopped in Des Moines to fill up, and sure enough, there was the 87 octane E15, which is typically marketed as an 88 octane. So it is a higher ethanol blend, higher octane, and a lower price. That's been part of the appeal of that product. If it's back at an 87 octane, we talk about, year-round availability is not replacing E10 as the standard. But if given the opportunity, because of the savings on the refining costs, it may become the standard of a standard blend out there, guys. It could happen. Haney?
And that's why API supports it.
Okay. Yeah. Follow the dollar.
Yeah. And how much of a, is there any sort of a tech change that has to happen if at the pump side, at the retail, nope. Or just basically load the tank with E15?
Loaded with E15. That's the bottom line. And 2001 or newer vehicles, it is safe to use it. So it's we're going to have to watch the development and the progress on this one very closely, because it could be a bigger deal than what I thought it might be, just simply because if the refiners make it the standard offering, boy, that does change the outlook there for sure. Jim, big, still a negative reaction from the bio-based diesel groups to the proposed RVOs.
Well, it was their, I guess, expectations that the renewable diesel part of the advanced biofuels was going to be so much higher. And, I think there was some shifty information being used by EPA. They used February data on capacity, Chip, where they had August data was available that showed 2.0 billion gallon capacity, whereas they used 1.5 billion gallons. So I think that there should be a push to revise those levels higher. Once they hit the deadline, in the summer of next year.
Yeah. The RVOs, I don't believe are expected to be or shouldn't be taken as predictive of use going forward. It is a minimum market availability to those products. The predictive side of this, I think we will find come February in the annual, annual Ag Outlook, forum for at USDA when we get that first look at the 23-24, the first unofficial look at the 23-24. Okay, I we need to move on. Haney, your interview with Jacob Shapiro was really, really good. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So one of the things that I like Shapiro, because he doesn't necessarily follow the track of a lot of people. He can be contrarian and also admit when he doesn't get stuff right. But he did talk about China. He does not see China invading Taiwan, but he does talk about how, although he feels President Xi will not change in behavior post-Congress, he does see Xi facing a lot of adversity. One of them is COVID and how they transition out of this zero COVID policy, because he can't just switch and say, oh, by the way, you can now leave your house and don't worry about COVID, because people are going to ask themselves, what the heck have you been making us do for the past 3 years?
Right.
And it could actually spawn more uprising and more protesting. And from an economic standpoint, he talked a lot about the real estate crisis and how much of the middle class in China is invested in real estate. And if that goes sideways in 23, even more, what that could mean for demand going forward. It's a cautionary tale here for agriculture.
And it's
looking ahead.
I didn't realize that that's where the middle class stored their wealth.
Yeah.
In China. Yeah.
Exactly.
But it is. Yeah.
Well, and it is like, this is the thing. Like, when you talk to analysts, and I know you do this all the time, Chip, it is about demand. We have big 23 questions on demand for these commodities.
Yep. No doubt about it. No doubt. Okay. We are coming up on top of the hour when we get the report from USDA. Obviously, it's the expectations of getting much market moving info out of this report is low, but hey, you never know when it comes to USDA and some of the expectations on the usage side of the balance sheet. So be watching that closely. Guys, thank you so much for being here again this morning. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. We'll talk to you. Actually, I won't talk to you next week. It'll be a couple of weeks before I talk to you. All right?
All right.
All right. Sean Haney, thanks, buddy.
All the best, everybody. Cheers.
All right, Davis, stick around. We'll talk to you again this afternoon.
Affirmative.
All right, we've got John Payne with us this afternoon as well.
When it comes to mites in your field, you can't afford a solution that might work. That's why there's ZealPro Miticide from Valent USA. With next-level knockdown and long residual control, you can be sure to handle spider mites at all stages of life with complete certainty. With efficient translaminar activity, apply by ground or air, and confidently attack mites where they are. Make ZealPro the definitive answer to your mite problem. Visit valent.com/zealpro to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
Take your conservation to the next level. The NRCS Conservation Stewardship Program pays producers for practices you're already doing on your farm or ranch while providing technical support and additional incentives to adopt new ones. More than 150 practices are eligible for working lands, rangeland, pastures, farmsteads, and forests. Don't miss out on this cost-sharing opportunity for next year. Visit your local service center or farmers.gov today.